I've asked Ms. Ashley P. to come introduce our speaker.
My name's Ashley. I'm an addict. And this is an absolute honor to introduce Unique. I met her at a convention that my sponsee, which is her other little white girlfriend, made me go to. And it was instant. And her vulnerability to share some of the deepest, most raw, self-inflicted behavior and pain from that, and the desire to want to do something different and just not knowing how, because that was all she knew. And then as we continued to build our friendship, and we've done some amazing shit, like we've traveled together. She just showed a video of me doing that same song on the street, urban street, at a convention in New Orleans. Like, we get to do some amazing fucking shit up in here, man, when we just don't pick up and apply the willingness to do the fucking work. And that is what I see in you, time after time after time, no matter how painful, no matter how confusing, you continue to show up, you continue to rise up, and you continue to get to the other side more powerful than where you fucking started. And like, we can say all day we don't see color, but it's impossible not to. But we don't have to let that be what separates us. Right? So when it says, when we say, when our literature says diversity is our strength, this right here is a prime example that no matter where the fuck we come from, no matter what we've been through, no matter what's been done to us, no matter what we do, even after we get clean, we can bridge the gap and deepen a connection. No matter what fucking color we are. I love you so much, and I am so grateful for you, and I am so fucking proud of you. Without further ado, I give you the amazing Unique.
And bring the heat, because it's cold in here, baby.
Oh, she's bringing the heat.
She will. She will and does.
Come on, Holland.
Oh, Lord. Oh, shit. Well, we got a nice way of closing after all that she just said, right? All right, hey, family, I'm Unique and I'm an addict. And I just woke up about 30 minutes ago. That's a big ass gap y'all got in there. I went to sleep for a second. But I'm here, you know, and first of all, I want to thank the committee for seeing something in me and allowing me to come and share a message of hope. And if you're new, I message is that an addict, any addict, can stop. Thank you so much, because I'm also a Cancer. I cry. I cry. Narcotics Anonymous peeled off my shell, but I cry. I was saying, our message is that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. Our message is hope, and the promise is freedom. And when it's all said and done, our primary purpose is to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Because that's all we have to give. That's all we have to give. So you can't leave here and say you ain't hear the message. That is the fucking message. Good night. Right? Good night. All right, it was a whole lot of newcomers here, man. And I just want to welcome you to Narcotics Anonymous. And like what was said previously, like, you don't stay here and not go through nothing. Right. You just ain't going to be able to stay here and not go through nothing. You know, it's necessary. You know, and we can't give nobody nothing we ain't got. You know, and that's the only reason I'm up here, because I obviously got something to give. Right, so my clean date is June 15, 2016. I like to say I'm coming up on 10 years in this game. 10! Oh my God, I came in here and was like, what the fuck I'm doing in here with crickets? I was 26 years old. Oh, what my sound though?
Baby.
I was 26 years old. I came in here, and I'm loud as a motherfucker. I just had a little shot of coffee back there. Y'all keep that coffee coming, like, I like that. But I was 26 years old when I got clean, man, and I was wondering, why the fuck, how am I gonna stay in here with these old ass people, right? And so, you know, a lot of y'all might not find that funny, because you could look around the room here in Nashville and it's a lot of people that look like you. They your age. But in Atlanta, everybody in the room got more clean time than I've been born. And I'm trying to figure out, how the fuck did I get here? You know, I had been clean before, because I must talk about this, you know, because there is a big contradiction out here, right? That clean time does not equal recovery. Right. But I know what it's like to have clean time with no fucking recovery. I know what it is to have days, to count days, and not make the days count. I'm talking about being in this process. I ain't raised my hand. I just made meetings and drunk coffee. I ain't get no phone numbers. I was around here for 2 years and nobody knew my name. I decided to use after 2 years and 2 weeks clean. Because my girlfriend at the time, y'all know, we go through that phase sometimes, right? Because I felt like if I slept with a man, he was going to have to pay me. And I didn't want to do that no more, right? So the justification was, I'm just going to get some, you know. But anyway, she had just got out of probation. Y'all know I'm trying to clean it up a little bit, you know. She had just got out of probation after 2 years. And I just celebrated 2 years, so we should celebrate. Right? I mean, that's what clean time with no recovery looks like. I had absolutely nothing to fight with. Nothing. I had a sponsor, but I told her what to do. She'll say, well, maybe you should do some step work, and I don't want to do no homework. That's what crackheads. I wasn't that bad. I don't want to do all of that shit. I'm unique. And I swear to God, I wore that like a... Oh, it's a whole chapter. I am the chapter. I am unique. Nashay motherfucking Dixon. And that shit led me back to using, man. Right? See, we don't come in this listen, I don't care where you go. Right? Whether it's Decatur, Alabama, or Decatur at Decatur, Georgia. It just sounds better. Decatur, Atlanta, Decatur, Alabama. Right? But I'm talking about Bangladesh, South Africa, India, Asia. The message is still the same. And they still gonna tell you these suggestions. Make 90 meetings in 90 days. Get a sponsor. Get phone up. They gonna say the same shit. It's just gonna be in a different language. And it's like that for a reason. Because it has been proven that if you follow this way, you never have to use again.
Come on.
Right. And I can understand that because I done been through some stuff since I've been here and I didn't think about using. I used a lot of other stuff, a lot of people, a lot of places, a lot of things. But it never really occurred to me. It just never even crossed my mind. Go do some dope. Right? So when I came this time, I like to start at day zero. I got a lady in my area that say, zero again. Right? And June 14th, you know, I was coming down off a three-day binge. And I had just had some altercations with this guy I was dating at the time. And, man, it was a lot of things going on at that time. But I remember going to my job. At that time, I had became a hairstylist. And my first day in the salon, after binging for 3 days, the stylist there, she said, "Are you okay?" And I believe the first time in my life, I said, "No." And the first thought that came to my mind was my friend that was in the after hours, because I was up all that morning. He wouldn't buy me a drink, because when he met me, I had been in recovery. And he said, "You in here all fucked up and shit. You was the hope." And he never been to a meeting. And for me to think about that, I said, "Damn, I gotta go back to these meetings with these old ass people." So I went to the meeting, and I really like what the lady talked about, how they say men get with men and women get with women. But when I walked in that meeting, I was the only woman, and the men, I cussed their ass out, but they knew I was sick. But they, they let me be, right? And I kept coming. I kept coming to the 11:30 at night meet in the New Beginnings group at the Highland Club. It's also called the Crime Scene. And they is not bullshitting. Go at your own risk. I prefer 10 a.m., maybe on noon. Ain't no telling what you're going to get after that. But I remember being at that meeting, right? And I went to work at the salon the next day, and I got a call that my friend had OD'd. So June 15, 2016 is also my clean day, but it's the same day my friend died. And I get really emotional about that, right? Because in them 3 days I was binging, she was right there with me. She was right there with me. So we was just doing handstands. I was a stripper, right? We was just doing handstands and all that shit together. Now she gone. So my justification was always I was too old to be in Narcotics Anonymous, but God showed me immediately I wasn't too young to die.
Come on, that hard.
And as bad as I wanted to follow up and go to the club, y'all know how we like to celebrate the people that's gone. I didn't go. I stayed at the fucking meeting.
All right, that hard.
I didn't go. I could not go. And I celebrate my friend by doing this one day at a time. So as I stayed in this process, right, I came in the door, like I said, at 26 years old. By now, my mother and my father are dead. And I never talked about that. I lost both of my parents to the disease of addiction. And like the lady said that was up here before me, I ain't look like this. I was showing my girl my pictures. I was fine as fuck. Had about 100 pounds off of me last when I got clean. I'm dead ass serious. I was looking at the pictures like, I want my body back. God damn you. I fucked around and ate myself. Shit. Yeah, you know, and I came in this process, man, and I told myself I'm going to do everything I didn't do the last time. And that meant going out to eat after the meeting, chairing the meeting, all that shit y'all be trying to do. How long you been clean? Get up here and do. I said, all right, I'm gonna be open-minded, man. Because I don't want to use. Right? So I remember being in front of the Main Street Clubhouse on Bankhead. And this predecessor walked up to me and he said, well, they was conversing off to the side. Now, mind you, when I was here in them 2 years, I had done tricked off with a couple people in the room. So I didn't know what my reputation was by the time I made it back. And, you know, this man, I see them talking and he come up to me and he said, what's your name? No, he said, how much time you got? I said, I got 9 days. Nigga, 9 days. So like, chill out. Chill out. And I said, so grateful for him. Said, good. I want you to be the midnight speaker at our 4th of July speaker jam. You can't do that. I got 9 fucking days. I still got kush on my goddamn breath. And him being him, he said, I'm the program chair. I do what the fuck I want to do. So the July the 4th roll around, by now I got 17 days. 17 days. And I'm talking about I was so fucking antisocial, man. I sat in my car for 6 hours until it was time for me to speak. Cause I didn't know how to. Y'all don't know, man. All this fucking hugging I'm doing now. And I was so fucking antisocial, man. I'm talking about I was so standoffish. Goddamn Narcotics Anonymous, man. Just bust my heart wide open. So I sat in my car for 6 hours on Facebook or some shit. I don't know what I was doing. I got there at 6. I spoke at midnight and I walked in the room and I shared. And I don't know what I shared, but I know I shared that my name is unique and my sister's name is special. And it was addicts that came to me after the meeting and said, you chocolate daughter. You chocolate's daughter. That's my mama name. Chocolate. With a Q. C-H-O-Q-L-A-T-E. Yeah. Right? And I was just, this time it was different. I was like, yeah. And now you my auntie. And now you my uncle. You know? And so, it was addicts in that room that knew my parents, right? And so some time goes by, and later on, this man calls me again, and he called me. He said, you coming to the West End convention? And I told him, I don't think so. Because I, you know, coming from prostitution, I didn't see the niceness. I just didn't see me spending all that money for a hotel room and not be making my money back. If I'm finna spend $500, that shit gotta flip some kind of way. I'm talking about I couldn't even be in the hotels, man.
Come on.
I couldn't even be in the room, man. Somebody had to come in my room. Somebody had to do that. So he told me, girl, just come. And then bring your ass down here, right? So I get to the West End convention. By now I got like 5 months clean. And before I got off the phone, he said, what size jacket you wear? And I told him at the time it was a large. That jacket is in the car. thinking about cutting it into a vest because I can't do this no more. I can't. I ain't even get it out the car. Right. But I got to the convention. He hands me a clipboard. Newcomer. Same shit that they doing to y'all around here. Hands me a clipboard and say, sign the speakers in. I said, I don't know nobody. He said, that's the point. He gave me this clipboard and he gave me this jacket. And it's a Unique D 615 2016 on it. I can't use now. That shit is embroidered or whatever it's called. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, you know, you be walking around with your little jacket on. You be feeling like, yeah, I'm in this shit. See, unfortunately for me, I treated NA like a gang when I got here. We was the Crips, and AA was the Bloods. We don't fuck with that AA shit. Yeah. What you mean you sober? We don't do that shit around here. I'm talking about this lady earlier said she was a thug. I'm talking about I was all that. Man, I grew up on the west side of Atlanta. Yeah, nigga, what the fuck is that? I got the NA symbol on me 4 times. And I ain't lying. This shit was a game. Yeah. So yeah, I before I knew it, unbeknownst to me, I had now become a part of the programming committee. Right? So that's my first year clean. So this specific convention, when you have a commitment, it's a 2-year commitment. And he had been calling me all the following year to do little stuff here and there, chair meetings and stuff. And so when I was clean the last time, I was dating a girl. And at the time, she had about 5 years. I seen her at the gay convention. Some of y'all know what that is. The little girls grow up. I had about 30 days, and I was like, that's the one, you know, whatever. You know, and I just thought osmosis, you know, but newcomers. Spiritual principles are not sexually transmitted. Old timer. Spiritual principles are not sexually transmitted. But I ain't know that, so I just, you know. Okay, so this year, this second year come around, you know, I'm doing me or whatever, and this convention is coming around again, right? And it's the West End Convention is during Thanksgiving. And the day before Thanksgiving, that girl I was dating when I was clean the first time was murdered. Right. And then on Thanksgiving Day, a good friend of mine was gunned down at the gas station. So that was like one of my first no matter what's when I got clean. Because it was like boom, boom. And I don't deal with death too well because I lost both of my parents. You know, I hadn't really done too much step work. I had a sponsor. We was doing a little something. But my sponsor at the time, she was one of them okay baby sponsors. Like them sponsors, you just do whatever the hell you want to do. Right? But I'm talking about I'm at this convention, man. Like I couldn't do nothing else but go to the convention because I got this commitment that I ain't even signed up for. And I'm so grateful for that because I had somewhere to go, man. And when I got there, the whole weekend had passed, and I was like, damn, I made it. I didn't use. I couldn't believe it. So, boom, my third year come. In June, I'll say a little bit before that, for some reason, like, when they get around your clean date, I'm talking about, I don't know if y'all can relate, man.
Absolutely.
You get around your clean date, and shit just be funny. The vibrations, goddamn metro and retro, whatever you want to call it, I don't know what the fuck be going on, but it be something going on around that time, right? And my stepdad passed away, and I wanted to use. And at that time, prior, like just a few months before that, I was invited to, I think it's surrender under the camp out. Now, when they came to me and they said, Unique, we're going to a convention in Tennessee. I said, cool, send me the hotel information. They said, it's a camp out.
Right. Yeah.
I said, I'm not going down there with them white people. The fuck I look like? I look like a lick. I'm going down there. Like, is you fucking crazy? Right? And so I get down there, and I was so fucking mad that I didn't bring a sleeping bag because that shit was off the chain. I had never heard of glamping. I was like, this man had an RV with the flat screen, had the grill going, music playing, they pulling fish out the water, cooking it on the ground. I said, damn, this shit. I was like, I want to stay. Y'all ain't got no more. They ain't got no more spots in the lodge, you know. And so she's my sponsor now. But the people I went with, they got on the boat. It was this white guy. Goddamn, I can't think of my boy's name. But he had a boat, and I was like, I don't know about that. I don't know this man, but they knew him. And I said, let me get on this boat, man. And we just riding on the boat. And I always like to say it was like Titanic. And my sponsor, she wasn't my sponsor at the time, but that's when she became, she was just looking out. And I like to say she was connecting with her higher power or whatever she was doing. And I just looked up and I said, will you sponsor me? Because my sponsor at the time, like, she was loving and caring because I came in angry as fuck, man. I came in the meeting, man, y'all was a bunch of fucking crackheads in here trying to raise me, and y'all ain't even raise y'all own kids. Like, I came in here, like, cussing they ass out. Fuck you. You don't even know who your baby daddy is. I heard what you said, bitch. I was brutal. I was mean as hell. So my sponsor at the time was exactly what somebody that was sweet, you know, and they tell me what to do. But when the pain outweighed the pleasure, like, I didn't feel like I was progressing, you know, and I didn't feel connected to those women that were in that tree. They'll do some shit like, hey, you coming to such and such event? I say, when is it? Today? No, I'm not coming to you. No, I'm not coming to that shit. The fuck I look like. You know, so I just didn't feel a part of. You know, I know sponsorship trees ain't nowhere in the book, but I don't know, man. I think that's important, man, because the women I got on my side, man, I'm so grateful for them, man. The only reason they ain't here, because they on that Jimmy K. Cruz and that circle of sisters. I know they'll be on this front row for me, man. You know, and I asked this woman to be my sponsor, and my life changed. My life changed. And, man. So, that was my third year. I asked her to be my sponsor. And then, my stepdad died. On top of that, I had been feeling like I wanted to use before he died. So I go to his funeral. Well, prior to that, I saw what now is my grand sponsor. And I asked her, I don't know, I just seen her at the meeting, man. And I just asked her, like, can I come to your house? Because I knew if I didn't, I probably was finna use. Bottom line. And she said, yeah, baby. Unbeknownst to me, my clean date is her birthday and her late husband's birthday, who she had just lost 6 months ago. So she was grieving too, right? But she still got up and took care of the kids and did all the stuff she did. And she was showing me how this thing go. But one day when she was gone, I went in her kitchen and I saw a basket with some pills in it. And that disease said, pills ain't your thing. So I grabbed this basket and I start Googling shit. What does this do? And by the time I got to the second one, she walked in the door. And I ran to her and I said, I was about to use. And she said, you wouldn't have got high anyway because them children tablets. But see, let me make something clear. I still would have had to cash in my clean time. Because my intention was to get high. You drank too much Listerine. You know what you're trying to do. To thy own self be true. You take that dose a little too many times. Yeah, so boom. My clean date comes, my third year, and it's my stepdad's funeral. His wife was actually my mother's nurse at one time. And she don't like us. And she had us raise this money for this man's funeral, only to tell us we ain't have to give it to her no more. She got it. And now I'm at my stepdad's funeral, and my stepsister leans in and say, sis, come in. You got some money? They said they ain't gonna go on with the service because they ain't got all the money. And I'm sitting here looking at the open casket. Oh, my clean date! Talking about you gonna go through some shit. I stormed out of there because I had my gun and I ain't want to shoot that bitch. Because by now I'm ready to pistol whip her ass. Yeah, I hadn't got through the steps yet. I hadn't realized I had some shit to lose at that time. I don't give a fuck. I got bond money, you know, that type of shit. You know, but I'm talking about I was so angry at her, man. Somebody came up with the money. By the time I went to the store, took my cousin to the store, bought him a bill. By the time we made it back, you know. And I shot straight from there to the meeting on Simpson Road. And I picked up my third year. And I ain't used. The fourth year comes. 2020. And I always say we should have got 2 years clean for that shit. Always say that. Because I lost 17 friends in 2020. 17. Y'all know by now I got some older friends. They got heart conditions and all kind of stuff. People done OD'd. People done had car accidents. Like, it was just a fucking mess. And grief paralyzed me. And I needed something to fix it. So I was introduced. Oh, shit. About to get a little stank up in here for a second, y'all. Hold the bell with me. So I decided I was introduced to this community where you can have all the sex you want to have. With whoever you want to have it with. However you want to have it with. You know, the speaker before me talked about how do we know when our disease is active. The disease of addiction. Newcomer. What makes us addicts is the disease of addiction. Not the drugs. Not our behavior, but our disease. There's something within us that makes us unable to control our use of drugs. But after you stay here for a while, that something gonna change. Whether it's Doritos, cookies, Amazon, shopping, gambling, fucking, whatever it is, it's gonna change. That's why we have to be vigilant. And it says this same something also makes us prone to obsession and compulsion in other areas of our lives. How can we tell when our disease is active? When we become trapped. Why the fuck I can't stay off of his? Why do I keep doing this same thing over and over and over again? Why am I doing drive-bys? Why am I doing... Why? Trapped in obsessive and compulsive and self-centered routines, endless loops. We keep doing this same shit over and over and over and over and over again. Endless loops that lead nowhere but to physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional decay. Right, so I get caught up in this lifestyle and I'm having fun. I'm having fun. And somewhere in our basic text, it talks about like the euphoria wears off and we see the ugly side of addiction. I'm talking about like when you done finally took a look at what you doing, when you finally print out that statement and you see where all your motherfucking money going to Uber Eats or Amazon or wherever you going. When you finally sit there and take a look, I'm talking about take another look at what you doing, right? And I remember telling Ashley, I don't know how to stop. I don't know how to stop. I'm talking about without the use of drugs. How do you know what when your disease is active? See, I'm just talking about me. How is your disease active today? Right? Because it don't have to be none of that. It could just be pain. You could just be addicted to drama. You could just be addicted to bullshit. So I'm trapped. Right? And I done put myself in harm's way so many times because I'm trying to chase this feeling, man. I'm trying to chase this feeling, man. I don't know how to sit by myself. I'm too fine. Somebody got to see this shit. At that time.
You still fine, though, bro. Don't get it twisted.
I know. Thank you. I'm like, wine fine now, I guess, right? You know, but, like, I couldn't stop, man. But at the same time, I don't like how I feel when this shit, when I'm doing this, man. You know, like, it'll be a Friday, and I say, Unique, we gonna stay in the house. We gonna pop up some popcorn. We gonna binge watch Orange is the New Black or some shit. We gonna chill tonight. And then that dope man called my phone. Ended up getting a friend that was gay, but he liked going in the straight clubs, praying on straight men. I tell him, no, that's because they ain't straight. But I was his date, and he got in cheaper with me, and I just got in free. I don't drink. I don't do nothing. I was the cheapest date ever, right? So he'll call me. Oh, you neat, man. And I just, before I know it, man, I'm on my way down 285 and I'm on the way. And I don't get home till Sunday. And I have added more names to my sexual inventory. All right. So now I'm ready to start taking a look, man, because it don't feel good no more, man. Right? And I'm so grateful for Zoom, right? As far away as it may appear, man, I done connected with some beautiful people on the Zoom platform. By any means necessary, KCB saved my life, right? And I remember hearing a woman on there talking about how she basically became a lady and learned how to keep her legs closed. And I called her. And I asked her, how? How did you do that? Because I lost my virginity at 12 years old to a man I didn't even know on a piece of cardboard hanging out with my hot ass friend. So I don't know, like nobody told me about the birds and the bees. And now the bees that done became birds and all, y'all know. Right? Nobody ever told me. And she said, Unique, well, you need to look at how you learned about sex. And that's when I realized nobody had ever had the conversation with me. Which is why I conducted myself as such. I came from stripping and prostituting, and that behavior followed me all the way to recovery. Right, but this time I was fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution, because as she stated, we get some certificates and some names behind, letters behind our name, and I was taking care of myself. That's another thing. During the pandemic, I sold a piece of it though, because I had lost my job. But like I just had got tired, man. And she said to me, Unique, I said to her, is it that I don't value myself? And she said, I don't value my pussy. I take care of it. I take it to the doctor. Keep it shaved. What am I supposed to do? Like, I don't do, what am I supposed to do? She said, it's not that you don't value your pussy. Pussy just has no value where you come from. And I begin to place value on myself. And I sat by myself. Right? And something spiritual happened to me where I actually attended this conference. I went there to try to learn how to be a speaker because that's what they promoted. Like, I speak here, but it's some motherfuckers that speak. And they getting thousands of dollars, so I'm trying to learn how to take this out there. Right? And so I go to this conference thinking I'm finna learn how to speak, and they baptizing people. What the fuck they got going on? I ain't never been baptized, right? So I'm kind of, you know, the rebellion in me, right? It's like, what the fuck they got going on? Shit, I ain't come here for Christ, fuck, you know? But while I was there, right, they had this little app where you could communicate with the community, and so me still being me, like, I'm trying to figure out how I could get an upgrade, right? Because they give out spouse tickets, right? So I'm trying to find somebody that's VIP that need a spouse, right? So it just so happened I put it out there, and I end up running into the guy who I asked on the app. I hadn't seen him in person. And we ended up breaking bread together, right? And it wasn't nothing like that. You know, we was just there at the conference breaking bread with each other. And before I know it, he said, I'll give you my spouse. I'll give you my spouse pass, right? Now, mind you, general admission was $400 what I paid. VIP was $1,500. And diamond was $5,000. And that man woke up that morning and gave me a diamond pass. Right? So all them fucking bitches in VIP that wouldn't give me their other pass, I was sitting over there on the leather couch like, yeah, bitch. But right, I took that thing as a spiritual thing, like, Unique, you keep settling for general admission and I got diamond for you, baby. Stop doing all of that with your body, baby. Like, stop doing all that, right? So they go up with a second appeal. We want to, you know, some people missed the baptism. We gonna do it again. And I felt drawn to it. And it wasn't because of the context. It was because I wanted to wash all them fucking hands off my body. And when I went down in that water that morning, I came out. Ain't no man touched me but that one. And then he proposed to me and shit, right?
Right, right.
Right? The hoes do become housewives. Yeah, for real. By the time he found me, a bitch was tired. I ain't wanna do that no more. You hear me? I was wore out. I was done. Fuck these motherfucker. I don't want nobody touching me, right? But so, like, I know I just jumped to the engagement, but, like, in that process, I sat by myself, and I like to always say it's not the quantity of time. It's the quality of time. Which is why you have some people say clean time don't equal recovery. Well, you know, then you can't have one without the other, granted. But I know it's some people that you see with your own eyes that's been here way less time than some people. And they are growing. They are evolving. Then you got the ones that stand outside the meeting selling Pampers and CDs and DVDs and shit. Oh, well, they might not do that at y'all meeting. I told y'all the Holla Club is a fucking mess. But anyway, you know, so I sat in that abstinence by myself, man, and Michael was the only man I felt comfortable around because he wasn't trying to jump my bones. He did try when we first hung out, but I was like, I'm spiritual right now. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, chill out. But I realized as time went on that this man was still spending time with me. And I'm talking about quality time. Like, we doing yoga and just doing walks in the, trying to fly a kite with no wind and shit. You know, we was doing all kind of just regular shit. The shit that I was sitting in my bed like, damn, like, because where I come from, you fuck first and then you ask, you're like, questions later. I remember wanting to go bowling and they didn't have nobody to bowl with. I'm talking about wanting to see the new movie, but I ain't got nobody to see the movie with. But got plenty to make a movie with. So I had to place some value on myself, man. And this man came into my life, and I'll be honest, he was cute, but I really wasn't interested. He was in treatment. Off limits. I could not stay. And y'all ain't feel me talking about unique fucking with nobody in treatment. Right? But my baby stayed down, man. He stayed down in that treatment 19 months. And as he said, it took him 33 days to sleep and 3 weeks to hold down food. And he got on the committee before I knew he was the vice chair and all of this shit. And I'm like, okay, I see you, newcomer. Doing H&I, I got him a car. Okay, I see you. And I thought he was younger than me. This nigga old as hell. Nigga 43, nigga. Damn. Baby facing. But you know, like, we've been on this journey together, man. And we've been able to evolve, man, and do some beautiful things together, man. And I'm so grateful for this man. Like, I always tell you, Michael, thank you for changing my story. Because without you, this part of my story wouldn't exist. You make me want to be a better woman. I wish I wanted to be a wife a long time ago. I be in my house with my moo-moo on, throwing out chicken. Shit, got a cabinet full of seed. I ain't even know how to fucking cook until I met him. Cause I was Uber eating my ass off. I be in there seasoning some shit, watching the video, trying to figure out am I doing it. Okay, time I put up. Right? And I tell you, just to bring it up to speed, man, like, I recently made a decision to quit my job, right? So since I've been here, I've been able to become a peer specialist, right? I'm certified in addiction, mental health, whole health action management, medicated assisted treatment, and I'm a forensic peer mentor, right? Got all of them, right? Yeah. Oh, hold on, that ain't shit, though. Why? Cause why? Hold on, what is that? So I got certified, and I'm working in treatment, and I've been stealing. I work for a crook. He don't give a damn. Long as you put them notes in and don't nobody do what they supposed to do. So at first I was dedicated, determined, and dependable. You know, showing up, doing what I'm supposed to do, and then I started stealing. So I made a decision to quit my job. Why? Because right now I'm in my master's program. Yeah. Right? Yeah. I'm in my master's program. And I got an internship and a grad assistantship. And I ain't got no fucking time to go see these people. I don't, right? So I made an executive decision along with my partner to step down from my job because it didn't feel good to steal no more. And I ain't making the kind of money I used to make anyway. That's what I'm saying. This shit here ain't worth it. I ain't trying to get banged up about no good. This is too bad. Yeah. So, you know, I made that decision and I had to get on that faith walk. And the only reason that was able to happen was because a few months ago, I found myself angry. So it was a meeting that I just hopped on, a leadership meeting. They were talking about the offense. And I said, I find myself getting offended all the time. And she said, well, maybe you need to ask God why. I said, I know why. I lost my parents. She said, maybe the offense ain't with your parents, it's with God. And I got off of that meeting and I was boo-hoo crying. And I realized, you gotta watch where your mind take you, man. Cause that motherfucker will take you somewhere, and I allowed it to take me somewhere, man. Somewhere that I thought I had healed from. Like the lady said, just when you think you healed, man, that shit will come up. I thought in my fourth step, when I opened up all them resentments and all of that stuff, that I was good, but I forgot to put God on there. Right? And now I'm like angry. I'm about to graduate. I just got my first place. I got this awesome man in my life. I'm planning a wedding. I want to have this man babies. I ain't got no babies, so we're going to try. I'm 37. But I got all these things that's going on. And my parents aren't here. So I'm angry. And I get back into that, why I had to be like that? Why this had to happen? Why, you know, I get back into that obsession. You know, and our anniversary is 11-1, and we went to Panama City, and we just went there, and I remember us sitting on the patio, and I had just shared in the meeting, I'm mad as fuck at God, you know, on my rage baiting shit, and Michael, we sitting on the patio because we got this nice little suite up real high look, and we looking at the stars and stuff, and Michael said, whoa, what is that? And I was like, what it look like? It looked like a plane crashing and it disappeared. He said, yeah. I said, that's a shooting star. I said, well, hopefully, if God listening to us, he'll show us another one. And I started labeling all these things. I was like, and God do this and God do that. And I said, right now. And the star fell. And it let me know that God heard me. He still hear me. Even when I'm angry. Even when I'm angry, I can say, God, what the fuck is going on? Right? So I got back in that place with my higher power, which allowed me to trust God when I quit my job. Why? Because when I show back up in April, here's the master's. Now I'm now a therapist. Yes. Fuck that CPS shit. Yes. I ain't going to say fuck the CPS shit, but I'm just saying I need about $10 more on the table if you're going to keep me, right? And so, I've been able to do some amazing things, man. And I just took y'all on this journey with me, man. First of all, thank y'all last of all, because a bitch is tired. Thank y'all for staying up late to hear this midnight speaker. It's cold as hell. Yeah. I'm sleepy. Yeah. And we got to drive all the way back to Atlanta in the morning. But, man, listen, if you knew, man, our message is that an addict, Robin. Our message is that an addict, Sydney, can stop using drugs. That's the only thing we can stop and don't have to do tomorrow. That's the only thing that's going to happen overnight. That's the only thing that's going to happen overnight. But we can stop using drugs. We can lose the desire to use. Like you just wake up one day and you don't want that shit no more. And if you stay here long enough, you ain't gonna want that other shit. Like that broke ass man, you, that's funny. I don't know what you got going on. But them other bad habits, let's say that, right? But you'll lose the desire to use, and then you find your sponsor, and you lock in with that sponsor, and you get into this book. Get into this book. I'm talking about get up in there, and you'll find a new way to live. You will find a new way to live. And if you want to see some pictures of what I looked like before I got here, holler at me. The newcomer. I'm talking about them two newcomers. Not none of y'all little men up in here. I'm taking. All right, y'all. Y'all have a good night and safe travels to everyone. I'm Unique.
All right, guys, let's circle up real quick.